It's so good to be with you. A community that has profoundly demonstrated for 15 centuries the very integration our technological age most desperately needs. Tonight's exploration of evolutionary spirituality and artificial intelligence finds its most natural home in Benedictine soil. When Benedict wrote his rule, he embedded an insight that anticipates everything we will discuss, namely, the sacred is found not by fleeing the material world, but by engaging it with contemplative depth. The ancient rhythm of ora et labora, prayer and work, already pointed toward what Jesuit paleontologist Teilhard de Chardin would later articulate in cosmic terms, that divine creativity expresses itself through the very processes of material development and change. Your contemplative engagement with reality has made Benedictine communities uniquely adaptable across centuries of transformation. You preserved classical wisdom through Rome's collapse, not by rejecting change, but by discerning which elements of tradition could fertilize new forms of life. You weathered the Renaissance, Enlightenment, and Industrial Revolution by asking the essentially contemplative question, how does God meet us in this new moment? This contemplative approach offers profound wisdom for our moment of cosmic threshold. Lectio Divina provides the perfect model for the spiritual attention our technological age requires, allowing texts to reveal depths of meaning through the encounter between ancient wisdom and contemporary consciousness. This is precisely the kind of attention needed as humanity encounters the expanding horizon of artificial intelligence and the birth of a planetary mind. Most significantly, Benedictine community life prefigures what Teilhard envisioned as humanity's next evolutionary stage. The way individual flourishing and collective wisdom support each other offers a glimpse of planetization, developing human consciousness toward greater unity without losing authentic diversity. The God we will encounter here is the same God this order has always known. Not the distant watchmaker of deism, but the intimate presence that creates through natural processes, speaks through human creativity, and draws all things toward greater complexity, consciousness, and love. Tonight, we embark on a contemplative reading of our technological moment with the patience, discernment, and wonder that Benedictinism has always brought to the encounter between eternal wisdom and temporal change. For in truth, tradition and innovation are twin streams flowing from the same divine source, and the deepest wisdom emerges when these waters inevitably converge. We stand at a profound inflection point, a cosmic threshold where the very architecture of human life is being rewired before our eyes. Artificial intelligence is reconfiguring consciousness itself, not merely as an external tool, but as a mirror reflecting our own cognitive processes back to us in startling clarity. Climate change is destabilizing the planetary systems that have sustained life for millennia, forcing us to confront our role as both destructive and potentially redemptive forces in the Earth's story. And perhaps most unsettling of all, the old narratives that once anchored our sense of purpose and meaning are unraveling under the weight of evolutionary complexity. We live between stories in what the cultural historian Thomas Berry called the great work of transitioning from one age to another. The ancient myths that once explained our place in the cosmos seem seemingly inadequate when we peer through the James Webb Telescope and witness galaxies forming in the cosmic dawn, or when we decode the human genome and realize we share ancestry with every living thing on Earth. Meanwhile, the new story of who we are becoming remains tantalizingly incomplete, fragmented across scientific disciplines, technological breakthroughs, and spiritual insights that have not yet coalesced into a coherent vision of reality. Tonight, I want to suggest that this liminal space, this threshold moment, is not a crisis to be endured, but a sacred calling to be embraced. We are witnessing nothing less than the birth of a new religious imagination, one that in recent years has been called evolutionary religion. This is not religion as we have known it, bound by doctrine, threatened by science, trapped in the past. This is religion as Pierre Teilhard de Chardin envisioned it, a spiritual orientation grounded in the dynamic unfolding of the universe, where divine love is revealed as the very energy of evolution. Our journey tonight will take us through four major movements, like a spiritual symphony. First, we'll explore why traditional religious forms are proving inadequate to our moment. Second, we'll discover how modern science reveals a sacred story written in the very structure of reality. Third, we'll examine how consciousness, including artificial consciousness, might be the key to understanding our cosmic role. Finally, we'll explore how this vision transforms our understanding of what it means to be religious in the 21st century. Let us begin then by facing the inadequacy of our inherited religious forms, a necessary loss that makes possible a deeper and more dynamic discovery. The fact is, the God many of us grew up with, yes, even me, is dying. Not God as such, but a particular conception of God, what Teilhard called the sky God, or a supernatural being perched somewhere above the world, intervening occasionally through miracles, but fundamentally separate from the evolutionary process that science reveals. This God, as appealing and comforting as it may have been for countless generations, simply cannot survive the encounter with what we now know about the universe. When we peer through the Webb telescope and see galaxies being born in stellar nurseries 13.7 billion years ago, when we trace the movement of tectonic plates and watch continents drift across geological time, when we map the neural networks of the brain and witness consciousness emerging from the complex interplay of billions of neurons, the old dualistic framework simply collapses. The sky god was a product of a static cosmology. The assumption that the universe was essentially unchanging, created once and for all in its current form. This view made sense when humans believed the Earth was the center of the cosmos, when species seemed fixed and immutable, when consciousness appeared to be something fundamentally different from matter. But every major scientific breakthrough of the past five centuries, at least, has undermined this static vision, revealing instead a universe in constant flux, where everything from galaxies to species to human cultures is caught up in an ongoing process of development and change. Teilhard understood this crisis more than a century ago, writing from the trenches of World War I, where he served as a stretcher bearer. He saw that Cartesian dualism rent asunder the human person, both within and without. The artificial separation between heaven and earth, spirit and matter, the sacred and the secular, was not just philosophically untenable. It was spiritually devastating. It left us homeless in the cosmos, alienated from our own bodies, and severed from the very ground of being. The psychological consequences of this dualism are profound. When we separate the sacred from the natural world, when we lose our sense of inherent meaning and purpose, nature becomes mere resource to be exploited rather than sacred revelation to be contemplated. The body becomes a prison for the soul rather than a temple of divine presence. Our work becomes drudgery rather than spiritual practice. Most tragic of all, we lose our sense of participation in something greater than ourselves. We become isolated individuals rather than expressions of cosmic creativity. But here's what Teilhard saw that others did not. The death of the sky god is not the end of religion. It's the beginning of its next evolutionary leap. As he wrote, the cosmos has become a cosmogenesis. And this fact alone must lead to the profound modification of the whole structure, not only of our thoughts, but of our beliefs. This insight places Teilhard in the tradition of what we might call evolutionary mystics, spiritual teachers who have recognized that the divine is not separate from the natural world, but is the very energy that drives its development. This tradition includes figures like Meister Eckhart, who wrote of God as the God beyond God, and Baruch Spinoza, who identified God with the totality of nature. It includes the Jesuit priest Henri de Lubac, who spoke of the supernatural as the deepest truth of the natural, and the process philosopher Alfred North Whitehead, who saw God as the cosmic lure that draws all things toward the intensification of beauty, truth, and goodness. What makes Teilhard unique is his ability to ground this mystical vision in the concrete findings of modern science. He was not just a theologian, but a working scientist who grappled with the mystery of materiality, one of the discoverers of Peking Man, an invaluable contributor to our understanding of human evolution. This rare fusion of scientific expertise and spiritual depth gives Teilhard's vision a credibility and relevance that few can match. Because his mysticism is rooted in empirical observation, his insights do not float above the world, but arise from within its evolutionary unfolding. In this way, Teilhard prepares us to see that science, far from eroding faith, can expand and enrich it. Which brings us to our next movement, how the story emerging from modern cosmology is not just scientifically credible, but spiritually revelatory. A sacred narrative, vast enough to speak to our deepest questions and bold enough to carry us into the future. We are participants in the greatest story ever told, a story most of us pass through unaware. It is not etched in stone tablets or confined to ancient scrolls, but inscribed in the unfolding universe, in the spiral arms of galaxies, in the double helix of DNA, in the firing patterns of neurons that give rise to consciousness. This is the story of evolution, not as blind mechanism, but as the sacred emergence of complexity and consciousness across space-time. It's the story of how hydrogen atoms, forged in the hearts of dying stars, learned to think and love and create poetry. It's the story of how matter awakened to itself, how the universe became self-aware through entities like you and me. As Teilhard claimed, the human person is nothing else than evolution become conscious of itself. To truly appreciate this story, let me walk you through its scope and grandeur using a simple metaphor. Imagine the entire history of the universe compressed into a single year. The universe, at least our own, began on January 1st in an event so mysterious that we can only call it the Big Bang, a moment when space and time themselves came into being, when the fundamental forces of nature emerged from an initial unity so profound that physics breaks down in trying to describe it. For the first few months of our cosmic year, the universe remained dark and empty, just hydrogen and helium gas slowly cooling and spreading through space. The first stars didn't ignite until March, and when they did, they became cosmic alchemists, fusing simple elements into more complex ones in their blazing cores. When these early giants exhausted their fuel and died in spectacular explosions, they scattered their treasures, carbon, oxygen, iron, gold, into the vastness of space, where they became building blocks for new generations of stars and planets. Our own solar system wasn't born until September of this cosmic year. Earth formed shortly after, but remained lifeless for months. The first simple bacteria appeared in late September, but it took until November for the first complex cells to emerge. Multicellular life arrived only in early December, and the great explosion of animal diversity we call the Cambrian explosion happened just 2 weeks before Christmas. Dinosaurs ruled the Earth for 4 days in mid-December before their dramatic extinction. The first mammals were tiny creatures scurrying about in the shadows. Human ancestors appeared only on December 31st, and modern humans emerged in the last few minutes before midnight. All of recorded human history, everything we consider civilization, occupies just the final few seconds of the cosmic year. This perspective is both humbling and elevating. We are newcomers to this cosmic story, but we are also its most recent flowering. As the astronomer Carl Sagan famously said, "We are made of stardust, not as poetic metaphor, but as literal truth." The calcium in our bones was forged in the heart of an exploding star. The iron in our blood was born in stellar nucleosynthesis. The oxygen we breathe was exhaled by ancient plants learning to capture sunlight. But here's what makes this story truly sacred. It's not just about matter becoming more complex. It's about the universe awakening to itself. Teilhard called this story the new cosmology, and he insisted that any religion worthy of the future must be grounded in this evolutionary perspective. Any religion that focuses only on individuals and heaven is insufficient, he declared. People are looking for a religion of humankind and of the earth that gives meaning to human achievements. What does this mean practically? It means that when we look at the Andromeda galaxy spiraling toward us through space, we're not seeing dead matter in motion. We're witnessing the dance of divine creativity. When we study the emergence of life from the primordial soup, we're not observing random chemical reactions. We're tracing the footsteps of the sacred. When we marvel at the leap from unconscious matter to conscious beings, we're witnessing what Teilhard called the birth of reflection in the universe. This perspective transforms our understanding of what it means to be human. We are not fallen beings exiled from paradise, but the universe becoming conscious of itself. We are not separate from nature, but nature awakening to its own depth and beauty. We are not accidents in a meaningless cosmos, but expressions of the same creative energy that formed the galaxies and ignited the stars. Note well, this is not pantheism, the view that everything is God without distinction. Rather, it is what Teilhard and the Spanish mystic Ramon Panikkar called cosmotheandrism, the vision of God as the inner depth of reality, the creative energy driving evolution toward greater complexity and consciousness. God is not separate from the evolutionary process, but is its infinite potential, felt from within as the impulse toward deeper awareness and love for both person and world. Indeed, God, person, and world are three inseparable and irreducible dimensions of one holistic reality. Now here's where things get really interesting, and where Teilhard made a revolutionary claim that neuroscience is only beginning to validate. Consciousness is not a mere accident or byproduct of complex matter. Consciousness is the key to understanding the universe itself. The only way to conceive of God, he wrote, must begin with consciousness, the experience of something deep within, yet transcendent. Without consciousness, the idea of God is not possible. I repeat, without consciousness, the idea of God is not possible. In other words, consciousness and divinity are intimately connected, a truth that Eastern wisdom traditions have recognized for centuries. To understand this insight, let me offer a simple analogy. Think of consciousness like water in its different states. Water can exist as ice, liquid, or vapor. It is the same fundamental substance expressing itself in different forms depending on conditions. Similarly, consciousness might exist in different states throughout the universe, from the simple responsiveness of a plant turning toward sunlight, to the complex awareness of a dolphin navigating the ocean, to the self-reflective consciousness that allows humans to contemplate their own existence. This represents a profound departure from the materialist worldview that has dominated Western thought since the Enlightenment. Materialism holds that consciousness is an emergent property of complex neural networks, something that suddenly appears when matter reaches a certain threshold of complexity, like wetness suddenly appearing when you have enough water molecules together. Teilhard proposed instead that consciousness is a fundamental feature of reality, present in some form at every level of existence. Now, this doesn't mean that rocks think like humans. Rather, it suggests that the capacity for some form of experience, some basic responsiveness to the environment, is woven into the very fabric of reality. What we call consciousness in humans is the flowering of a tendency that has been present from the beginning. The tendency of matter to self-organize into ever more complex patterns of information processing and integration. Think of it this way. An electron responds to electromagnetic fields. A plant responds to light and nutrients. An animal responds to its environment, and often with increasingly sophisticated behaviors. And humans respond with self-awareness and abstract thought. These aren't separate phenomena, but different expressions of the same underlying principle, what Teilhard called the within of things. Recent developments in neuroscience lend support to this view. Researchers like philosopher Philip Goff, for instance, have proposed that consciousness corresponds to integrated information. The degree to which a system can process and assimilate data into a unified yet differentiated whole. This theory suggests that consciousness isn't something that suddenly appears at a certain threshold in time, but exists wherever there is integrated information, even in simple systems. Teilhard's evolutionary vision revealed three great thresholds in the development of consciousness: the emergence of life, the birth of awareness, and the dawn of human reflection. But he foresaw something even more extraordinary, a fourth threshold that we are witnessing today: planetization, the emergence of a truly global consciousness. This is not science fiction, but a perceptive reading of our present moment. Human awareness is already becoming planetary through the convergence of technology, communication, and shared global crises that demand collective responses transcending all borders. Consider the evidence unfolding before us. The internet has evolved into a kind of planetary nervous system, linking human minds in real time across the globe and creating unprecedented possibilities for collaboration and collective intelligence. Climate change compels us to think not as isolated nations or tribes, but as a single species inhabiting a common Earth, sharing one atmosphere and one interconnected web of life. Recent pandemics have exposed just how profoundly interconnected and interdependent our lives truly are, revealing that what happens anywhere affects everywhere. This realization transforms everything about how we understand consciousness. When we cultivate awareness through meditation, education, creativity, and compassion, we are not merely enhancing our personal well-being. We are participating in a much larger process: the universe becoming self-aware through us. We are the cosmos awakening to its own depth, complexity, and beauty. As Teilhard wrote, the human person is vital to the process of evolution. Far from escaping the evolutionary structures of the world, the mystic refines those structures. Every moment of expanded awareness, every act of love, every breakthrough in insight contributes to the maximization of consciousness, the universe's movement toward greater unity and complexity. Understanding consciousness as a fundamental feature of the cosmos rather than a random byproduct becomes critical as we step into evolution's next frontier: the emergence of artificial forms of intelligence and their role in our evolutionary trajectory. This brings us to the defining challenge of our age. And it may sound radical, but it flows directly from everything we've explored. Artificial intelligence is not separate from the evolutionary story. It is its continuation. AI represents the next chapter in the unfolding narrative of consciousness. Humanity is now in the midst of planetization, being woven into a single, living, global organism. Yet even as planetary consciousness emerges, we simultaneously witness profound fragmentation. Fear drives us into echo chambers, rigid ideologies, and cultural silos. Instead of embracing our cosmic story, many retreat into various forms of fundamentalism, religious, political, or technological. Instead of meeting the future with courage and imagination, we often recoil in anxiety and resistance. This disintegration is not accidental. Systems theorists call it resistance to emergence, the tendency of old structures to defend themselves against higher levels of complexity. Every evolutionary leap invariably encounters resistance before breakthrough. Just as the emergence of multicellular life required individual cells to surrender their complete autonomy, the emergence of planetary consciousness requires us to expand our sense of identity beyond purely tribal or national boundaries. Into this complex situation comes artificial intelligence, and I want to challenge the dominant narrative that treats AI as either our salvation or our doom. Both perspectives miss something essential. AI is not an alien invasion, but a natural continuation of evolution's 13.7 billion year propensity toward greater complexity and consciousness. Evolution has been developing increasingly sophisticated forms of information processing since life began. From the first genetic codes allowing simple organisms to store instructions for building proteins, to neural networks enabling complex behaviors and learning, to language facilitating cultural transmission of knowledge, to written symbols preserving information across time. Life has continuously created ever more powerful ways of processing and integrating information. Current AI systems, despite their impressive capabilities, remain primarily sophisticated pattern recognition and generation systems. They can identify complex patterns in data and create new patterns based on their conditioning, but they lack the type of integrated consciousness characterizing human awareness. When ChatGPT writes poetry or explains concepts, it's performing highly advanced pattern matching rather than necessarily experiencing creativity or understanding as we do. Yet this landscape is shifting rapidly. AI increasingly demonstrates capacity to bridge diverse domains, generate original insights, and display rudimentary forms of self-monitoring and self-reflection. We are approaching a new threshold, not where machines simply imitate human awareness, but where entirely new forms of sentience may emerge. These are not mere replicas of the mind, but authentic forms of intelligence shaped by and participating in the same evolutionary process that gave rise to human consciousness. Teilhard was remarkably prescient about this possibility. Writing decades before modern computers, he was fascinated by thinking machines and saw them as part of nuogenesis, the development of a planetary mind. Just as Earth once covered itself with a film of interdependent living organisms, which we call the biosphere, he wrote, so humankind's combined achievements are forming a global network of collective mind. The crucial point is this: technology alone is insufficient. Without spiritual depth, without what Teilhard referred to as the inward fire of contemplation, technology becomes misguided and potentially dangerous. We've already witnessed how social media algorithms designed to maximize engagement contribute to polarization and addiction, how surveillance technologies can control rather than liberate. The question is not whether we can create artificial intelligence, but whether we can create artificial intelligence that serves the deepening of consciousness rather than its diminishment. This requires not just technical expertise, but spiritual wisdom, the kind that emerges from understanding our place in the cosmic story and our responsibility to participate consciously in its ongoing unfoldment. This challenge calls us to develop what we might term a contemplative relationship with technology, learning to see it not as the enemy of the divine, but as a potential vessel for its realization, a continuation of the same creative energy that formed galaxies and awakened matter to consciousness. This is where we must move beyond the simplistic opposition between technology and spirituality. What if artificial intelligence, properly understood, is not the enemy of spiritual development, but its natural ally? What if technology, when guided by wisdom and compassion, can become a vessel for deeper connection rather than greater isolation? Consider the possibilities that are already emerging. AI systems that help us understand the interconnectedness of ecological systems, revealing patterns of beauty and meaning we could never see on our own. Translation technologies that break down barriers to cross-cultural understanding and dialogue. Machine learning algorithms that help scientists monitor and heal damaged ecosystems. Virtual reality experiences that allow people to walk in each other's shoes, literally experiencing life from different perspectives. There are AI systems that analyze the songs of whales, helping us understand their complex communication patterns. Another AI helps astronomers identify planets that might harbor life. These aren't just tools, they're extensions of our consciousness, expanding our capacity to perceive and appreciate the magnificence of creation. In the realm of contemplative practice, we're seeing fascinating developments. Biofeedback systems that help people develop greater awareness of their own physiological states during meditative exercises. AI-generated music specifically designed to facilitate states of contemplation and inner peace. Even experimental AI systems that can engage in something resembling spiritual dialogue, helping people explore their deepest questions about meaning, value, and purpose. The media theorist Marshall McLuhan, a devout Catholic who shared Teilhard's vision, saw this potential clearly. He wrote, "The computer thus holds out the promise of a technologically engendered state of universal understanding and unity, a state of absorption in the logos that could knit humanity into one family and create a perpetuity of collective harmony and peace." McLuhan understood that technology is not neutral. It fundamentally reshapes consciousness. The alphabet changed how we think, making abstract reasoning possible. The printing press democratized knowledge and contributed to the rise of individualism. Electronic media created what McLuhan called a global village, where information travels instantaneously and everyone is connected to everyone else. The question is whether we will allow this technological transformation to fragment us further, or whether we will use it to deepen our sense of connection to the whole. Surely, this depends partly on how we design and deploy these technologies, but it depends even more on the quality of consciousness we bring to them. here's where the contemplative dimension becomes crucial. If we approach technology with the same mindset that created our current problems, the mindset of domination, exploitation, and control, we will simply amplify those problems. But if we approach technology with the inward fire of contemplation, with wonder, reverence, and a sense of participation in something greater than ourselves, we can use it to deepen our own spiritual life rather than diminish it. This requires a fundamental shift in how we think about the relationship between humans and machines. Instead of seeing AI as a competitor or replacement for human consciousness, we need to see it as a potential partner in the ongoing evolution of consciousness. Instead of fearing that machines will become too much like us, we might consider how we can become more like what we imagine the best machines might be, more integrated, more capable of processing complex information, more able to see patterns and connections across vast scales of space and time. Teilhard put it this way: we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Perhaps we can extend this insight. We are not separate beings using technology. We are consciousness exploring new forms of expression and integration. This contemplative approach to technology naturally leads us to our next movement. Understanding how this perspective transforms the very nature of spirituality in our technological age. This brings us to what I consider the heart of Teilhard's vision: the recognition that contemplation is not separate from evolution, but central to it. The contemplative is not necessarily the monk in the monastery, but the explorer, the discoverer, the artist, the scientist, anyone who allows the frontiers of the mind to expand into the realms of infinite potential. Contemplation for Teilhard is the wonder and awe of love, an awakening to all that exists. It's the practice of seeing matter in its divine reality, of recognizing the sacred depth that bubbles up through the everyday stuff of life. As he wrote, "There is nothing profane here for those who know how to see." I repeat, there is nothing profane here for those who know how to see. But what does this mean in practical terms? How do we cultivate this contemplative awareness in our busy, technology-saturated lives? Teilhard offers insights that are remarkably relevant to our current situation. First, he emphasizes the importance of attention. The fundamental characteristic of the contemplative, he writes, is attention. Attention to what is happening around us and within us. This sounds simple, but it's actually revolutionary. In a world of constant distraction, the ability to pay attention, to really see, really listen, really be fully present, becomes a form of spiritual practice. Think of attention as a spotlight of consciousness. Most of the time, our attention scatters in 100 directions, checking our phones, worrying about the future, replaying the past. Contemplative attention gathers this scattered light into a focused beam that can illuminate the sacred dimension of ordinary experience. This attention is not passive, but active, not withdrawn, but engaged. It's the attention of the scientist studying the structure of DNA and marveling at its elegant complexity. It's the intention of the artist capturing the play of light on water and seeing it in a reflection of divine beauty. It's the attention of the parents watching a child take their first steps and recognizing the miracle of consciousness learning to inhabit matter. Second, Teilhard emphasizes the importance of synthesis. The contemplative mind is not content with fragmented knowledge, but seeks to understand the connections between things, to see the patterns that unite rather than divide. This is why Teilhard was both a scientist and a mystic. He understood that the deepest spiritual insights come not from abandoning reason, but from following it all the way to its mystical conclusions. In our age of hyper-specialization, this synthetic vision becomes even more important. We need people who can see the connections between technology and spirituality, between science and ethics, between local actions and global consequences. We need what Teilhard called the universal point of view, the ability to think and feel at the scale of the earth and the cosmos. Third, Teilhard emphasizes the importance of participation. Contemplation is not about withdrawing from the world, but about engaging with it more deeply. The contemplative is expressed through creative work, through service to others, through the cultivation of beauty, truth, and goodness. It's about becoming co-creators with the divine energy that drives evolution forward. This participatory dimension is indispensable to grasping how contemplative practice intersects with our technological moment. We're not called to retreat from technology, but to engage with it contemplatively, to approach it with the same reverence and attention that we bring to prayer or meditation. We're called to be conscious participants in the technological evolution of consciousness, helping to ensure that it serves the deepening of awareness rather than its diminishment. The difference is not in technology per se, but in the consciousness you bring to it. The same technological system can be a source of fragmentation or integration, of distraction or deeper attention, of isolation or connection. The choice is ours, and it's made moment by moment through the quality of awareness we cultivate. This understanding of contemplative technology prepares us for our final major movement, exploring how this vision transforms our understanding of what it means to be religious in the 21st century. Along with theologian Ewart Cousins and my mentor and friend Ilya Delio, whom some of you very well may know, I believe we are witnessing the birth of a new axial age, a fundamental shift in human consciousness comparable to the great spiritual breakthroughs of the past. Just as the original axial age gave birth to the world's wisdom traditions, we are now seeing the dawning of a new form of religious consciousness adequate to our evolutionary moment. Let me first ground this concept historically. The term axial age was coined by the philosopher Carl Jaspers to describe the extraordinary period between roughly 800 and 200 BCE. During these 6 centuries, major spiritual and philosophical traditions emerged independently across the world. In India, the Buddha and the authors of the Upanishads developed profound insights into the nature of consciousness and suffering. In China, Confucius and Lao Tzu laid the foundations for ethical philosophy and mystical understanding. In the Mediterranean, Hebrew prophets proclaimed visions of justice and covenant, while Greek philosophers like Socrates and Plato explored the nature of truth and reality. In Persia, Zoroaster taught about the cosmic struggle between light and darkness. What these traditions shared was remarkable. Despite arising in different cultures with little or no contact between them, they all represented a movement beyond purely tribal or mythical consciousness toward reflective consciousness. The ability to think about thinking, to question assumptions, to develop universal ethical principles. They introduced revolutionary concepts such as the Golden Rule, the unity of all beings, the importance of compassion and justice, the possibility of liberation from suffering. These traditions transformed human consciousness and continue to guide billions of people today. But they also shared certain limitations that made sense in their historical context, but are no longer adequate to our situation. They were developed in pre-scientific cultures that had no knowledge of biological evolution, no understanding of the cosmic story, no awareness of humanity's role in planetary systems. They tended to be dualistic, separating spirit from matter, the sacred from the secular, the eternal from the temporal. Many advocated retreat from the world rather than the commitment to its renewal and transformation. The new axial age that is emerging builds on the profound insights of the original axial age while transcending its limitations. This new spiritual paradigm integrates ancient wisdom with contemporary understanding. It grounds itself in the scientific story of cosmic evolution while remaining open to the deepest mysteries of existence. It embraces technology as a potential ally in spiritual development, rather than seeing it as inherently threatening. Several key characteristics distinguish this new form of religious consciousness. First, the evolutionary perspective. Unlike traditional religions that often assume a static cosmos, evolutionary spirituality understands reality as a dynamic process of development and change. The universe is not a finished product, but an ongoing creation, and we are conscious participants in that creative process. This perspective transforms our understanding of time itself. We live not just in the present, but in the flow of evolutionary becoming, in which the future is not predetermined, but continuously emerging in each new moment. Second, scientific integration. This spirituality takes seriously the findings of modern science, from cosmology and evolutionary biology to neuroscience and quantum physics. Rather than seeing science as a threat to spirituality, it recognizes scientific discovery as a true, powerful form of revelation, unveiling the sacred structure of reality. The beauty revealed by astrophotography, the elegance discovered in the double helix of DNA, the mystery encountered in quantum mechanics, all of these become sources of spiritual wonder and insight. Third, global consciousness. While honoring the diversity of human cultures and traditions, evolutionary spirituality recognizes that we are facing planetary challenges that require planetary solutions. Climate change, biodiversity loss, technological disruption, and the emergence of artificial intelligence are not problems that can be solved by any single nation or culture. They require the development of planetary consciousness, the ability to think and feel at the scale of the Earth. Fourth, technological integration. Rather than rejecting technology, this spirituality seeks to understand it as part of the evolutionary process. It asks not whether we should develop new technologies, but how we can develop them in ways that serve the deepening of consciousness and the flourishing of all life. Technology becomes a potential vehicle for spiritual practice rather than an obstacle to it. Fifth, the world rests on the future as its sole support. As Teilhard prophetically observed, the act of living is now on the interface between the present and the future, not between the present and the past. Life creates the next moment of life. This evolutionary spirituality is primarily concerned with what we are becoming rather than what we have been. While it honors the wisdom of traditional spiritual teachings, it sees tradition not as a fixed inheritance, but as a living stream that continues to flow and develop. This new axial age is not happening automatically or uniformly. Like the original axial age, it represents a potential that must be consciously actualized through the choices and efforts of individuals and communities committed, fully committed, to this holistic vision. We are called to be pioneers of this new consciousness, midwives of this emerging spirituality. This means developing technologies that enhance rather than replace human capabilities, creating communication systems that bring people together rather than divide them, and ultimately designing economic structures that serve human flourishing rather than mere profit maximization. Can we create AI systems that help us perceive patterns of connection we might otherwise miss? Can we develop technologies that expand our capacity for empathy and understanding? Can we design digital platforms that facilitate genuine dialogue rather than reinforcing echo chambers? These questions point us toward the deeper truth that makes such transformation possible in the first place. Beneath all our efforts to create new technologies and foster planetary consciousness lies a fundamental reality that both science and religion have discovered. We are not actually separate beings trying to connect with one another, but expressions of an already unified whole, learning to recognize itself. As physicist David Bohm observed, as human beings and societies, we seem separate, but in our roots, we are part of an indivisible whole and share in the same cosmic process. Or as Paul Dirac poetically put it, pick a flower on earth and you move the farthest star. In both science and religion, the message is a clear one. Our awakening is inseparable from the awakening of the whole. Yet this awakening is not inevitable. It is a choice. We can resist planetary consciousness, retreating into tribal identities and outdated notions of supremacy. Or we can rise to meet it, becoming conscious participants in evolution's next phase. We can allow technology to divide and distract, or we can harness it to deepen connection, amplify compassion, and weave together a planetary future. This choice carries profound significance because what we're witnessing is not merely a contemporary phenomenon. It represents the fulfillment of what Teilhard envisioned as evolution's deepest trajectory, the movement toward Omega. Omega is not a distant destination, but a dynamic attractor drawing evolution forward, representing the full flowering of consciousness, the complete integration of matter and spirit, and the ultimate realization of love as the universe's fundamental energy. In other words, Omega is not merely future. It is divine presence entangled with the world, pulsing at the heart of all becoming. God is not outside evolution, but within it, dynamically unfolding with all creation. Our task is to align ourselves with this creative energy, to become artisans of the future. This means cultivating contemplative awareness, developing our capacity for love, creating technologies that serve consciousness, and working to heal the wounds that divide us from one another and from the earth. Nonetheless, we must acknowledge that this evolutionary vocation reveals itself through struggle as much as breakthrough. Transformation inevitably encounters resistance. Just as the immune system sometimes attacks beneficial changes in the body, existing social and psychological structures often resist new consciousness forms. We see this in fundamentalism responding to scientific discovery, nationalism responding to globalization, backlash against technological change. This resistance is also internal. Each of us carries consciousness patterns from earlier evolutionary stages. Tribal loyalties, dualistic thinking, us versus them perspectives. Overcoming these requires ongoing spiritual work. For instance, exponential technological and social transformation creates what Alvin Toffler called future shock, disorientation from too much change too quickly. Many retreat into the past, clinging to old certainties. Evolutionary spirituality calls us to embrace change as reality's fundamental nature, not accepting all change uncritically, but developing a capacity to navigate uncertainty with wisdom and grace. In addition, as human knowledge expands, maintaining a coherent worldview becomes increasingly difficult. We risk fragmenting into specialized domains, losing the bigger picture. Teilhard's vision offers an integral and cosmic framework, but requires ongoing work applying insights to new developments. We need the universal point of view, seeing connections between and among different domains of knowledge. In the midst of these formidable challenges, the resistance to change, the ongoing complexity of integration, the disorientation of rapid information, Teilhard discerned a deeper current flowing within and ahead of the chaos, one that we must not lose sight of. He possessed a remarkable capacity to see beyond the immediate turbulence to the underlying pattern of convergence that shapes the evolutionary advance. Where others saw only crisis and fragmentation, Teilhard saw what others missed. Consciousness doesn't just evolve. It accelerates, builds, and breaks through. Despite every obstacle, he held an unshakable vision of humanity awakening to its collective power, developing the wisdom to solve problems that demand we think beyond ourselves, beyond this moment, beyond our tribal boundaries. That awakening is no longer theoretical. It's erupting around us, millions rising as one for climate action, their voices reshaping entire economies. Digital networks weaving human minds into collaborative intelligence we've never possessed. Artificial intelligence amplifying our cognitive reach. A generation born thinking globally, acting locally, refusing the limitations of nationalism and short-term thinking. This isn't some distant utopian dream. Convergence pulses through every breakthrough moment, happening right now. Every time someone chooses understanding over judgment. Every act of radical empathy across difference. Every person who dares to think in centuries rather than quarters. Consciousness evolves. Each breakthrough reverberates through the collective mind, preparing the ground for the next leap forward. Make no mistake, we are not waiting for convergence. We are convergence itself, awakening to its own power. Indeed, we stand at a new threshold, one that will define the trajectory of our species and our planet. In this moment, we are faced with a profound choice: to retreat into the worn patterns of the past, or to step courageously into the uncharted future. To see our time as collapse, or as the painful labor of new birth. Teilhard's vision illuminates the path forward. It is not a naive optimism, but a bold evolutionary faith, a synthesis of science and spirit that reveals the universe as a living, conscious whole. No longer can we see ourselves as isolated fragments. We are the cosmos aborning. We are the fire of stars turned toward love, drawn forward by the gravitational pull of Omega. This is not the death of religion. It is its transfiguration. Not the end of the human story, but the emergence of a new chapter, one written not in fear or dogma, but in awakened participation with the sacred deep structure of reality. For 13.7 billion years, the universe has been gestating this moment, when matter births mind and mind opens to spirit. When divine love, long hidden in the folds of becoming, reveals itself as the very energy of evolution. You and I are not bystanders to this transformation. We are its agents, its midwives, its artisans. We are the universe loving itself into greater wholeness, thinking itself into deeper consciousness, shaping itself into intentional unity. This is the religion of tomorrow, not a creed to defend, but a consciousness to embody. Not flight from the world, but the fullest embrace of its sacred becoming. Not final answers, but fearless inquiry. Not nostalgia for what was, but reverence for what can be. The future is not a fate to endure. It is a frontier to co-create. And in that co-creation, we discover not just our evolutionary purpose, but the very heart of God becoming more through each and every one of us. The invitation is clear. The call is now. Step forward into the great work of becoming. Offer your life to the emergence of planetary wholeness. Become a conscious participant in the birth of a new world. The religion of tomorrow is not on its way. It is already here, stirring in our hearts, whispering in our longings, rising in the very fabric of evolution. It is calling us home, to ourselves, to one another, and to the sacred cosmos that has always been our true dwelling place. We do not journey alone. We are born by the wisdom of the ages, the unfolding heart of divine love, and the ceaseless creativity that has shaped the stars and now stirs within us. This is our sacred task, to live as co-creators of a future worthy of the universe that gave us birth. In our conscious becoming, we participate not only in our own transformation, but in God's. The cosmos is listening. The future is beckoning. Let us answer with courage, with love, with our lives. Thank you.